guys. Time once again for another matinee. Now, we're cheating a little bit on this one. A little bit, I guess. Because this movie actually first started making the festival circuit back in late 2018. And it got released on VOD, I believe it was just this past fall, like October or November of 2019. But we only just got around to watching it, so hell with it. We're going to review it anyway. Because I'd actually heard a lot about this movie and kind of wanted to see it.
It's now commonly available anyway.
Yeah, we rented it on Xbox, I think, yeah. Right. And I think you can get it on Amazon Prime and stuff like that. This is Antrim, the deadliest film ever made.
Yeah. And they're considering it to be a new movie, so we'll consider it a new movie.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to do.
I think you just started offering it in the past month or so.
Yeah. So basically, this movie is... It's kind of like a mockumentary, but not quite, because the entire thing isn't a mockumentary. It's basically like it has... It's like an Oreo cookie. And that the cookie parts are like the mockumentary parts, which are only like a few minutes that like bookend the thing. And then in the middle is the actual viewing of the cursed movie.
That they're talking
Antrim.
About. Yeah.
So the whole like premise of this is that the movie Antrim was actually made in the late 1970s. I think it was supposed to be Bulgaria or Russia or somewhere like that. And, you know, the mythology behind the movie is that, you know, the one public showing that they had, like in Budapest, I think they said it was, the theater burned down and they, you know, figured out that everyone that in the audience had either like set themselves on fire or started a fire in the theater or whatever, and it killed everyone. And then they were trying to like shop it around to film festivals and stuff, and like every single person that viewed it, like, to see if it was going to go in the festival or not, ended up dying in, like, mysterious ways. So it got, like, this reputation of being cursed. And, you know, if you ever see it, you're going to die. But then it was, like, lost for, like, 20 years. That's kind of, like, the whole mythology of this thing. And so now, like, the people who made this movie have located it and are now showing it to you. You know what I mean? So that's the whole...
Yeah, it's a documentary about a fake 70s movie, and they show you the movie.
Yeah.
And it is like watching a fucking pretty low-budget 70s movie, but in a good way. I liked it.
It seemed like... Because I've been watching, like, some other people's reviews of it. Like, some people are, you know, liked it. Some people were like, meh, they didn't think it was very good. One reviewer that I watched, he was like, he wondered if... He's like, did somebody just make, like, a 70s throwback movie and then decide to add this extra layer of meta layer on top of it?
Like,
they well, not according to the Wikipedia page. No. Apparently this was the way it was supposed to be structured, like, from the, because they really liked the commentary on, you know, I kind of like this kind of thing too, where they're like this kind of, I'm not super into found footage movies, but I like these kind of like meta narratives where it's kind of like, here's this cursed film and it's actually real, and they go to the effort to make it look like it really came from back then, and then they're like kind of building this mythology around it. Yeah. So I really dug like the whole like premise of this and like the whole idea of it, and then the idea of them just showing it in the middle. And then there's like other like mysterious shit too. They're saying that, well, there were frames, like subliminal frames, like put in there by like an unknown third party, which like looked like they were kind of from a snuff film or something like that. You know, so like I said, you know, they bookend it with, you know, all these kind of talking heads and like film experts and stuff like that. And they're even like making reference to other cursed film movies like The Ring and like Cigarette Burns from Masters of Horror that John Carpenter directed.
That was good.
I like that too, which was about a cursed movie also. So it's very like self-aware in that sense. Now, I will say that, you know, I really dug this, but I'm going to say that if you're into like weird 70s movies, then you'll probably like this. If you're not, probably not. Because I think what ends up happening is that they hype it so much, like in the first, like so many people, all these people died watching it, and they even have like a 30-second like legal disclaimer saying, hey, if you die while you're watching then we're not responsible, and yada yada, and then they do like a 30-second countdown like so you can turn it off and all this other kind of stuff. So I will say that maybe that kind of like builds up expectation, like you think it's going to be the scariest movie ever, the goriest movie ever.
No.
Which it's not.
No.
But I will say that it does have a really cool, I mean, they really did nail that just weird and I can't even put my, I don't even know what the word for it is.
Weird low
budget 70s. The weird low budget. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Let's Scare Jessica to Death. Yeah. It had like a tone kind of like that. Because basically the story of Antrim that's happening in the movie is there's like an older sister, I think her name is Aurelie, and she has a younger brother named Nathan, and their dog gets put to sleep, their dog Maxine, at the very beginning, which starts out on a nice happy note. The dog gets put to sleep, and the little boy is like, well, asks the mom, like, oh, is the dog going to heaven? And their mom, who is, I don't know why she says this, because she's just a horrible person, I guess. She's like, no, Maxine was a bad dog, so she's going to hell, pretty much.
Yeah.
So apparently this is causing the little kid to have, like, nightmares and be, like, really traumatized, which is, you know, not, that's not surprising. So the big sister decides, well, we're going to go out in the forest, and we're going to dig a hole to hell, and we're going to find Maxine and we're going to like save her soul. We're going to pull her out of hell. So they go to this place in the forest that she's, they go camp out. And she says, this is where Lucifer, you know, fell down from heaven. You'd go through. And she had like this grimoire that was like hand drawn. And it's like had all the shit about the different levels and demons and all this other kind of stuff. But then obviously like all this real shit does start happening. So it just had this really kind of cool, like unsettling. Like I said, it's not scary and it's not gory, but it does have like a really creepy, like unsettling type of vibe to it, you know, and it does have kind of these little subliminal things like demonic faces and little demonic sigils, like, you know, that look like they're scratched into the film and that kind of stuff. And then there's like some weird shit at the end with like these two cannibals, or what are they? I'm not really sure.
Wild men.
With like a brass bowl some type sort thing. Yeah. It's like, you know what I mean? That's a little strange. But yeah, this is just like, I really liked, I don't know, I just really liked the whole gestalt of this. And like I said, you know, they were fascinated by saying like, you know, because it's kind of about the power of storytelling, like stories becoming real or like having effects in the real world, which kind of comes into play later on. And like I said, I won't spoil it. But another thing that they said was a big inspiration, and this should kind of give you a sense of where they're coming from, is I don't know if you guys have seen, there's a short film, and it's called Dining Room or There Is Nothing. I've seen it because it comes up on a lot of the creepiest YouTube, like, type, you know, videos where people are, like, pointing out, like, all the really creepy shit. And this is one that turns up on that a lot. It's a, just this really surreal, like, short film. And the guys that made this movie said that was also a big inspiration. They just really liked the whole feel of that. And so they wanted to, like, kind of get that same kind of vibe for this movie, which I think they did succeed at. But like I said, if you're into just, like, these just creepy, eerie, like, you know, that don't necessarily make a lot of sense, that are just kind of, like, these weird, made with, like, just these weird, creepy images and stuff, then you'll probably really dig this. Other than that, I don't know if you would or not. Because like I said, you know, the whole hype at the beginning does kind of make it seem like it's going to be the most horrifying thing you've ever seen. And obviously it's not.
No. Cigarette Burns is a very similar concept.
Yeah.
But I think Cigarette Burns was creepier.
It was,
I think it was weirder. Well, but this isn't a bad movie. It's It's just a different take on something like that.
Yeah. Cigarette Burns, I think, was more, you know, concerned with kind of like gore, because it was much, much gorier. I mean, this really isn't
and
very
weird
gory.
Weird shit happened in Cigarette Burns.
Yeah.
This one has weird shit happening, but it's not as disturbing.
Yeah.
I guess you could say that this one is a little more family friendly.
I guess.
Family friendly.
I mean,
they're neither one of them are, but I'm just saying. You could show
if you had to pick one to show a kid.
Yeah, this one doesn't quite go as far as Cigarette Burns did. And Cigarette Burns isn't full feature. It's full
length. It's an hour. I think it's an hour long.
But, you know, it's still, they did capture the kind of that 70s weirdness.
They really did. So, like I said, there's a lot of movies that actually did come out in the late 70s.
That were kind
of
like this.
That have this kind of, like, tone to them.
Yeah, but most 70s movies didn't go this far.
Well, yeah, that's true.
You know, had this come out in the 70s, I think it would have been pretty fucking well received.
Yeah, I definitely think so, too. But, I dig this kind of, like, throwback type of stuff, though. And like I said, I have to say, the filmmakers did a really good job of capturing that. I don't know. I mean, It looks like it was shot on 35 millimeter, and, you know, so to kind of give it that authentic thing. Maybe it looks tiny bit too good.
Yeah, it does.
To have been from the 70s.
You can
but
tell.
But the way, like, the kids' hair is, their clothes, yeah. like, the way they could, just kind of the way the whole thing is very reminiscent of the 70s. So they did, like, a really good job of doing that. And actually, I would rather that they, you know, had it make like a look like a little bit too new instead of going too far in the other direction and like putting all kind of crazy filters over it to make it look like it was old, because that probably would have been really annoying. But you know, like I said, I really dug this movie. It's just it was kind of just like a cool concept to me, and I'm always really into like, you know, cursed films, cursed books. I love that kind of shit. And I especially like stuff like this that's kind of like a meta narrative that's kind of like one story inside another story, and it's kind of like one thing that's like commenting on the other. So I really like that type of thing. So if you like that type of thing, then you will probably like this also. But like I said, don't expect it to be, you know, I'm not sure if the filmmakers really thought they were going to like, you know, shoot themselves in the dick by calling it the deadliest film ever made, because that's going to like hype shit up for, you know, everything. But
gonna
it does
set you up.
Yeah, but it does seem like it's getting fairly decent reviews, and it did when it first like went around the festival. You know, like I said, it's not the most horrifying thing you've ever seen. It's not the goriest. It's not the most disturbing. But it's just like a nice creepy kind of curiosity, I guess, if you're into this type of movie. So, you know, would I recommend it if you like that type of thing? Yeah, I would recommend it. I enjoyed it very much, and you liked it too.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
You know, so, you know, that's kind of our take on it, so your mileage may vary, as usual.